Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message. Can you hear me? Well, I want to tell you, I'm a mother. I've had three miscarriages, so I have three children in heaven waiting for me. I know their names, and I have two that are alive and kicking. So I want to tell you something. This will encourage all these many mothers in here. My son, when he was at SMU, was doing the most harebrained things you could ever imagine. It was like, God in heaven, help me. I've prayed for this kid, these kids, since they were born. God. And a prophet told his wife to tell me, tell Betty this. I've heard your prayers, for I, God, love diligence in a praying mother. Doesn't that go deep? Then I have a daughter that's married to a military man, so they live all over the world. I tell her, you're the most ecumenical Christian I've ever known. They started out in a Bible church. Then they went to Michael Fletcher's church in Camp Lejeune, charismatic. From that, they went to Baptist in a school. Then from that, they went to Okinawa to a Baptist church in Okinawa. Then they moved to San Antonio, and they were Methodist. And now they're in Hawaii, and she says, Mom, guess what we are now? And I said, oh, God, you're not turning Jewish, are you? What? She said, Mom, we're Presbyterians. And I'm going, oh, okay. So she calls me this week on her way to work, you know, Mom, I just had to tell you this. We went to church Sunday. It was kids' day. They had the kid preacher, the kid testimony, the kid worship leaders, and this guy stands up, this kid, and he goes, my dad came to us, told me he's leaving the family. It's broke my heart, devastated me, but I learned that I could speak in tongues and pray, and I could survive because of it. She said, Mom, in the Presbyterian church, they're talking about it. So you just don't know. Women and men, your kids are worth everything. I've prayed more for my kids than I've prayed for anybody because they carry the heritage. In Malachi 3:10, or right around in there, it says, what do I want from a marriage? I want godly children. See, it can all die with the next generation unless you make sure it doesn't. So I'm going to talk to you today about something you may never have known. Some of it you're going to know, some of it I don't think you will know. And it has to do with what the church is doing about making the Bible real, really understanding how to get the Bible out of the grave into the resurrection in your own life. And so the title of this is Children, God's Mighty Warriors. Now, you may think that you know the Bible stories, but I want to ask you something. Do you know how many of the Bible stories it was a child? It wasn't an adult. You're reading it as an adult, but it was a child that did it, maybe 8 years old. So I want to ask you something, and I want you to really think, this is very important. Did God ever talk to you when you were little? Did you ever feel the presence of God around you? Did God ever use you in a big way when you were little? Do you still remember it clearly? Has it ever come back to your memory in a powerful time in your life and it motivated you, made you stay strong? Has there ever been a time you could have died as a young person and you didn't die? If so, you can know for sure God has a plan for your life. Isn't that good? All right, so God can use children in extremely difficult situations. I mean, even you as an adult would be going, oh, dear God, I don't know, I'm scared. And God used an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 17-year-old. So I want to go over them, and I want you to think about them. The first one is Miriam. You probably know about her. She's Moses' big sister, and she was the person who led the worshipers. But when she was about 8 years old, she saved the life of the man who would write the first 5 books of the Old Testament. He led 3 million people out of Egypt into the promised land. He is the father of different religions, not just Christianity. He's very big in two others. You've got to understand, they were going to kill that baby. They were killing all the babies. And he got put in a basket in the water. And the little girl, it says in the Bible, she watched to see what would happen. And a princess came and said, oh, I bet this is one of the Hebrew kids. I wondered about that. I thought, now, how'd she know that? Well, maybe he'd been circumcised and he was naked in there. I don't know. But she said, the little girl watched and said, do you want me to get somebody to help you? She said, yes. To nursing? Yes. I know someone. Ran and got her mother and saved the boy's life, who grew up to be Moses. Now, I want you to look on the screen. This is a little girl you may know, you may not know. This is a servant girl who was a refugee. You're going to find out how many people did big things for God in a country they didn't even live in to begin with. So this little girl was captured. She was in Syria now. Now, we all know Syria. There's just been a big war there. Well, the head of the army, the whole army of Syria, got leprosy. And the king had great respect for him because he won many victories, but he got leprosy. I work with lepers right now in Kenya. We've just built 15 houses for people who are despised. Their leprosy is gross. I've had my hands on their feet, on their hands, saying, grow. I believe you can do creative. Grow, grow. Nothing happened. I thought, Lord, what happened? And he said, watch how the people in this village respect them now because of how you treated them. And now we've educated them, housed them, fed them, bought beds. They'd never slept on a bed in their life. They'd only slept on the floor. This guy had leprosy. And the little girl, 8 years old, said, if my master would go to the prophet in Israel, he could be healed. Now, how's your faith? Can you go to another country and talk about our God here, what we know? And he went. He even went to the king. They trusted that little girl so much, 8 years old, maybe 10, that he went to the king. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me about reading the Bible is we don't realize how big the situation was. We're trying to apply it to our own life, and none of us are kings. None of us are heads of countries. But this stuff all happened with kings and heads of countries. If it'll happen for them, you think it won't happen for you? It's going to happen for me. It's going to happen for you. So the next one is Samuel. Samuel was 8 or 9. He was given to the prophet when he was about 3, the prophet Eli. Because his mom was infertile. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for women that are infertile right now. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, touch their wombs. Yes. Amen. And so he was given, and he's about 8 or 9, living in the church, or actually the synagogue, whatever, at the tabernacle. And all of a sudden, one night, God talked to him. And he, you know, there hadn't been any messages from the Lord before that. Visions were quite uncommon, it says. And so Samuel ran out because the Lord said, Samuel. And he said, what is it? And he jumps up, runs to Eli. Did you call me? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called him again, Samuel. And he jumps up again. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again and says, Samuel, say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. So he went back to bed. The Lord came, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. 8 years old, and here's this. Listen to this. The Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end because he had bad boys. The prophet raised bad boys. He did not discipline them. He let them get away with murder. And that's what God says. I have warned him that judgment is coming on his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. They take the meat offered to God and they would make sure they fried it in hot oil and they ate it. Now, I mean, disgusting. So I vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifice or offerings. 8 years old, had to tell him that. 8 years old. And he told him. And Eli said, well, let him do what he thinks best. The next one is Jesus. Jesus did not operate in the power of the Holy Spirit until he got baptized and filled with the Spirit. He came as a man. He's like you and me. Anything Jesus can do, I can do. You can do. We can raise the dead. I've got friends that have raised the dead. Four of them. Listen, it's real. It's real for you and me. And so Jesus, when he was 12 years old, think about 12. My granddaughter's 12. She's almost as tall as I am. She's about like this. Jitterbug. I mean, you never know what she's going to get into. And when he was 12 years old, they went off for the big thing to go back for the temple, for all of that. Thought he was with them, missing. Where is he? Look for him for 3 days. What would you do? I can tell you right now. I know what my mother would have said to me. Betty Merle, if you ever do that again, I'm going to knock a lung out of you. And probably meant it. And so they went, son, where were you? We've looked for you for 3 days. He said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? I've got to be in my father's house. And it says they didn't understand. Can you remember? Maybe even now God's told you something and people don't understand, but you know it's God. And you hold on to it. All right, now, the next thing is I want to talk to you about the young boy with the 5 loaves and 3 fish. I'm not going to go into that long. It was just a big meeting with Jesus. If you've ever been to Israel, you can go see where that happened by the Sea of Galilee. And there was no food. A little boy, 8 or 10 years old, had to be about 10 for his mother to let him go by himself, had fish and bread, and he gave it. You think you don't have what some of these people here have, or maybe the people doing the worship. But I want to tell you something. You got 5 loaves and 3 fish, and you just give that up, and you say, Jesus, it's yours. It's yours. You watch what he'll do. It's amazing. But you know what else? God uses teenagers also. Now, if you've been watching the news lately, 2 young men, one man gave his life, one kid, 17, to stop the school shooter. Y'all know about that, don't you? It just happened a week ago. Did you know it happened again? And I saw the little boy on TV, and he was standing with his dad, and he said, I was going to get a metal baseball bat, and I thought, if nobody else goes for him, I'm getting him. And the lady on TV said, how old are you? He said, 12. Now, think about what I'm saying. It may be your kids that do great things. All right, so Joseph at 17 was a refugee. Kicked out, his brothers hated him. God gave him a big dream, and he just got sold as a slave. It was all God's plan. He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Because he saved the nation of Egypt from famine. And then he brought his own family down and saved them and spared them. So he was only about 17. I'll tell you another one that was real young, Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah 1:5. It's my call. Before you were born, I called you and ordained you to be my prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah said, not me. God, I'm young. I'm too young. I'm scared. And God said, don't be afraid of their faces. You go out and say what I tell you to say. He had a big call on his life. So you have to understand, your call can be gigantic, gigantic. Here's one you probably don't know about. This is the Apostle Paul's nephew. How many of you know about the Apostle Paul's nephew? Anybody? Nobody. Well, he saved Paul's life, and you wouldn't be reading the Bible this week. It wouldn't be there. The New Testament wouldn't be there, a great portion of it. Paul's sister had a son. a young man, it says, young, maybe 17. It was a youth. And he discovered a plot. Now, we have to wait till we get to heaven to find out how did that happen. Boy, wouldn't that be good. Wouldn't that be good on YouTube to watch that happen? And he discovered the Jews have got a plot. They're going to set it up, and they're going to tell you this, and you're going to do that, and they're going to be waiting, and they're going to kill Paul. 17 years old, he tells Paul that. Paul says, you need to go tell the Romans. He says, okay. And he goes, and they listened to that boy. The head of everything said, he was nice to him. That's how you know he's young. He said, come over here and talk to me. And he told him. And he said, we'll do something about that. We'll get the soldiers right now, and we will make sure this doesn't happen. And because of it, because of somebody 17 years old, you have most of the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. All right. So I want you to understand that kids today are still doing it. I watched a thing on CNN that came on my phone about just this week. A grandmother took her kids with her to the hospital. She got out to do something, left the car running. They were in the back seat. A guy jumps in. Is it going to be a carjacker? The 8-year-old boy gets out and grabs his sister by the hoodie and pulls her out. The little kid saved the big kid, and they're okay. So, you know, kids today are doing something. And I want to show you about something we're doing. And Ron knows all about this because he works with Nadeem. I met Nadeem Salim from Pakistan through a miracle. I got to watch the time, y'all. How am I doing, Ron? My little timer isn't working. Oh, I'm doing good. That's what I planned. Okay. This is good. All right. So I met Nadeem. He emailed me on will you give me, you know, most of those, if you're in the ministry, people always want to ask you, will you give me money and support my ministry? He sent me a video, didn't ask for money, and I thought, well, that's crazy. Then he sent me another video and didn't ask for money. I thought, this is really crazy, but I thought he kind of sounded pretty good. And then I forgot about him, and I got a virus from hell. I lost everything on my computer. Awful. And then I went to Africa and had the big deal of praying for the lepers, so I'm all fired up about that. And I come back, and I say, Lord, that young guy, I felt a connection to him. I've lost his email. If that was you, have him get in touch with me. 4 days later, I get an email out of the blue from him. He's telling me all this. I want to get out in the villages. I want to reach the kids. I want to reach the adults. I wrote him back. I said, listen, all my money's going to Africa. I'll give you $1,600. That's all I'm going to do. Famous last words, Ron. Hundreds of thousands later. He wanted to take a projector show out into the people that are the poorest of the poor. They're illiterate. They can't read. They're hungry. And he took one of my TV shows, What is My Cross? Do you know what your cross is you have to bear to serve Jesus? You need to figure it out. And I don't know how many people have seen it. Maybe 70,000. I don't know. How many people gotten saved? I don't know. 60,000. I don't know. It's been amazing. But then we've started Bible schools, all this stuff with Nadeem. So one day, about 2 years ago, Nadeem goes, Mom Betty, I want to start a children's projector show, and I want it to be all children who do the preaching. Really? Oh, he's so far out there, I trust him now. So if you look at this photo, is the photo up of the guys? Can you see them? Okay, one of them is 8, 9, one is 11, one is 13, and one is 14, and that's your preachers. And there's no telling how many hundreds and hundreds of children have been saved because these people preached. It wasn't the grown-ups. And do they have the picture up there of the little kids with receiving salvation? Can you see it? Here it comes. All right, I want to show you a little quick video of that boy that's 11 preaching, okay? And and all of those children getting saved. Isn't that something? Now I want to tell you about a friend I have named Camille Wagner, and some of you have met her. She learned to prophesy at 11. Don't ever think the Holy Spirit has age, and you only get the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit when you become an adult. You get it from birth. Jeremiah got it from birth. So at 15, she was used by major speakers to prophesy from the stage, and she was used to prophesy about people much older, about situations she couldn't know anything about, because you'd have to be that age to understand it. I took her to Africa with me on my first trip to Africa, and she nearly would kill me. She gave me the dirtiest look. We've laughed and laughed. I said, and along with me on the trip, I've got Camille. She's 17. She's great at prophesying. Camille's going to go out in the audience and just prophesy to anybody God tells her to prophesy to. And she looked at me like, I'm going to kill you. And instead, she hit a ringer every time. Every time. Then she went to study with Heidi Baker in Mozambique, and then from 17 to 24, she was Benny Johnson's personal assistant. You know Bill and Benny Johnson with Bethel Church in Redding, California? She worked for them for 7 years in their private life, helping them do what they do. Then she gets done with that, and she helps Carrie Job. Y'all know Carrie Job? She's been her administrator for 6 years, and that's how we all got to go see Carrie Job free. She got us all tickets. I think there's about 8 of us going. And now she is tired of that, done with that, and back in Redding, California, she has started a travel arrangement company for Christian ministries, booking everything for them. So I want you to understand God's Spirit can work through anyone. 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 And the other thing you've got to understand is the Holy Spirit is ageless. Ageless. My little child, one time I was so bent out of shape. I mean, just bent out of shape. And I was in the kitchen and I was just frustrated. A four-year-old, he just gets like this. Mom, you need to let the Holy Spirit control you. So, remember this, children can have pure faith, maybe purer than an adult, speak, preach, prophesy, heal, move in signs and wonders just like adults. Don't limit children out of fear. I have some friends that they were so afraid if they taught their children to pray specifically and God didn't answer, they would lose their faith. So they never taught them to do it. And they have no faith. Terrible. Now, how many of you can say, I remember God when God came to me and talked to me as a child? Would you raise your hands? Would you stand? I have a prophetic word for you from God. Every person that you've either had a dream from God, a vision from God, a word from God, look at this. Happened to me when I was 10. I was called to preach, and I said, no, I was scared to death. I might have to go to Africa, and women can't preach, so what am I going to do? I don't want to do it. Besides that, I want to have a lot of fun in life, and you can't have fun being a Christian, so I don't want to do it. Well, look at me. Here I am now, having a great time. All right, so I want to encourage you, don't let go of the vision or the dream God gave you. Don't let go of it. And here it is. Close your eyes. I have called you. I have called you. I have called you, and you know it. There have been times you even fell on the floor weeping about it. Some were tears of worship. Some were tears of fear. But I have called you to faith, to great faith. Have I not said by my Spirit that my Spirit will do it in you? Go now. Step out and watch what I do. Step out. Okay, you may sit down. I hope that encourages you. encourages me. I've stood on that word, Betty. I called you. I held on to the, I was a Baptist, held on like this, and that Holy Spirit just called me, go down, go down, go down. No. Next Sunday night, go down. No. And he never talked to me again about it until I was in my 40s, and he reminded me, I called you to the ministry. Oh, I forgot. That's why I'm preaching this sermon to you today. Remember. And then I stepped out, and I thought, I'm going to be an old lady. God, have I missed it? No. His timing. If your call hadn't happened yet, there's timing, and you've got preparation. And I can tell you this, the bigger the preparation, the bigger the call.
Yes.
The longer you have to wait, God's putting everything in place. All the people, all the situations, all the time, all the money, everything. Don't be discouraged. God, if God told you I'm going to do it, I can just tell you what. It's going to happen. Do you know the only thing that can keep God's will from happening to you? There's only one thing. You. No devil. No sickness. No disease. No failure, no big sin, you. You say no, it stops. You say yes, it happens. I'll tell you what my prayer is. God, I'll go anywhere, anytime, with anyone, any place. I'll do anything. Just let me be an influence for good. And God, let me reach my full potential before I die. Well, I'll just tell you what. If you pray that, you better be prepared to get stretched. Full potential isn't dumped on you. You have to grow into it. You have to pay the price. You have to fight for it. But it's worth it. It is worth it. Now, there's one other thing I want to finish with. Some of you are here today, and you don't really know the Lord. You know His name. Maybe go to church. Maybe worship. But do you know Him intimately? It's like the marriage. The intimacy that a marriage can have sexually. God wants that same. We're called the bride of Christ. It's a marriage. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. So when God says, I want you to know me. I know Bill Swan better than anybody. We've been together. Well, we've been married 53 years tomorrow. But we've been together 56. And I thought about it yesterday. I honestly love him more today than I've ever loved him. Don't listen to those people that say, oh, it'll never last, or oh, you can't stay married today. Don't believe that. You're in God. But I want to ask you, right now, is there anyone in this room that says, I don't know God like you're talking about? I know his name. Well, I want to tell you something. You can know Jesus today. And our reading in the Bible that we're doing as a church today was in Job. It said, God will take your sins, put them in a bag, throw them in the ocean, and they will sink to the bottom. Wouldn't you like to have your sins forgiven today? Wouldn't you like that?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to have eternal life?
Uh-huh.
Live forever? If you want that and you've never done it, I want you to stand up. Everybody here is saved, huh? Anybody have any doubt about it? You know, I thought about how churches say, okay, everybody close their eyes. Now, if you want Jesus, raise your hand. And I thought, well, that's kind of a chicken way. Thank you for standing. That's kind of a chicken way. I mean, when you get married at the altar, does the preacher say, now everybody close their eyes. Okay, husband, don't say anything. Don't make any signs. But if you want to marry her, raise your hand. No, as you make a vow. I mean, my goodness. All right, so right now, just say this prayer to yourself. Jesus, I don't know you like that. I don't know you intimately. I didn't even know you could know you intimately. But today, with all of my heart, I receive you into my life. Take over, Jesus. I've made a mess of it. I'm tired of it. I want the real deal. And Lord, the best news I heard today is I can give you all my sins, and you're going to take them, and I'll never have them anymore. They're gone. They're washed. If I even came to you a year from now, a week from now, and said, God, about that sin I did that I'm so ashamed of, God would say, what sin? What sin? So here's your chance. Receive it today. Thank you, God. Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.